The Australian Presbyterian Bible Church, November the 6th, 2016. Christ without compromise, the Bible without qualification. These are the standard reference works, realities, and in this case, here is the standard person and his proclamation. Here is the Son of God and the way of salvation. Today the sermon, a change can be like a holiday or a call to ruin. Based on 1 Peter 3 and of course Genesis also in its expression of the nature of man as a being and of woman as one called to help. Comparable to man, we find written in the text. There is no question. These being heirs together, as 1 Peter tells us, of life eternal, there is no question when they are Christ's that they are comparable. They are specialized. Deliver need and ridicule the heart because it's different. They could bring up arguments. Specialization does not mean compartmentalization in lower regions. That is read into it and is, as 1 Peter 3 tells us, quite contrary to the reality. Male and female is not relevant any more than Jew and Greek. We read in Galatians 3 to the issue of significance. Each is the same. Therefore, so much of this current endeavor to remake what the DNA has already made for thousands of years has been operative. Man in the image of dream, contrary not only to convention but to construction, is an idle reality. It makes it real, but the reality which comes is like that of a dream. When one awakes, it explodes into meaningless fragments. So, we think first on the change can be like a holiday or a road to ruin, of the undoubted facts that there are differences which may not offend the most egalitarian minded, but that the differences do not sanction the concept of inferiority. That has been against the Bible from the beginning. The Bible having been one of the great foci on the fact that a woman is equally a child of God of equal significance. To hear some of these rantings as though the Bible had done the opposite to what it has in fact achieved in this area, as I once had to point out to Adelaide University when involved with some of the students, to imagine that is merely a false trail. The differences between men and women can be examined in many ways, and I'm not planning to make a physiological sermon, but there are one or two points which will need in due course to be mentioned. Women, I have found, at the vocational level, are frequently exceedingly capable in discerning, describing, and detailing personal events. I have frequently marveled at the facility, the agility, and the accuracy with which they bring out these things, rather like an engineer bringing out his equations. While that is a personal finding, there have been other findings since, such as the natural behavior of children, which are in that direction. Social awareness. Watchfulness that the man does not put his foot in it in society. and endeavor to watch elements which the man may, to which the man may be relatively, in many cases, though not all, of course, these are generalities, lacking. The woman has many of these things. As the Bible says, she's a great help, and that doesn't mean a maid. Let alone that you need two women to match one man's witness as to something, as if 2 to 1 is an equality. That is utterly contrary to the Bible and the wisdom in whatever religion it may be found. It is contrary to reality. What a wonderful thing it is, the difference. I delight in it. I think women are wonderful. I admire the difference. I delight in the difference. I'm grateful for the difference. It makes such a difference. So many things where I would tend to fumble are handled with agility and ability. But it must all be the same. Nothing like that is permitted. There are reasons for this. Women have been badly treated in some ways in terms of wages, just as they may be treated wrongly now. But that doesn't mean that we need to leave reality because there has been error in the past. In kind, there's no difference. But in measure, there are differences that cannot be denied. Biblically, the married man and the married woman are heirs together in a Christian marriage. Their value is equal as persons, while their facilities, abilities differ to some extent. These are neither absolute nor invariable, but a trend. And there are physical reasons for some of these things which are gradually being discovered, to which we'll come a little later. To suppress these differences, to make it evil, offensive, to have them, to try and force a unity of specialization, as if to try to turn the carburetor into the accelerator, is ludicrous, counterproductive, a delusion, a ferocious assertion of racism, human racism, the worst of all racisms. The race that says, we didn't make ourselves, but boy, we'll make ourselves felt now. We will change gender if we feel like it. Our dreams will turn into educational invasions if we want to. Manhood will be taught as something bad or evil because it can be misused. Has anyone ever heard of a female sin? I thought it was pretty common to both. Such distortions are a gross invasion of reality and liberty, and the misuse of the education system to force even parents to have their children choose the gender when the DNA in each individual body in billions of cases says the contrary. It says this is that way, that is that way. To contradict billions of voices from nature in order to indulge a dream and a fantasy, misconceived and heavily dysfunctional, is just part of the state. All shall be one in the state, mate, not in Christ Jesus. Now, when it's in Christ Jesus, you don't have to do it. You can opt out. You will not be forced to come to church, right? But in the state's wandering, you will be forced. Your children will be taught these things in school. The latest thing I'm hearing beginning to come into the university. If you want success in your profession, do what mummy says, what the state says. The state is becoming a god in these things. How? By specifying where we come from, where we're going to, what we're made of, what we're for, and what is to be done, by whom, whenever the state wishes, whatever the religion may be. And that's freedom of religion. That's the Commonwealth, which tells us that it is not possible for the Commonwealth to direct religion. There must be freedom for people to express their religion. And so you express your religion by being sent to a school where you are forcibly taught, without option, that nothing made it all, or something or other which came from nowhere did it all. It's much the same. Nature did it before it was there to do it. What other dithering they have. Forcibly taught that, been going on for many years, an invasion of religion contrary to reality. It's never been seen, it's never been observed that information is created without intelligence, but this requires it. It is a contra-scientific delusion. Fables such as Paul warned would be taught. And people have itching ears, and they do. They're itching very badly right now. But then, choose your gender is the next step. Choose your gender. The next step, your state will choose you. You will do what you are told. How horrible, says one leading politician, this homophobia. They refer to it as hating man when you love what God has made and delight in it. A flat slander of the first order. A confusing befuddlement. If you love life, what about following what it's written? It has written in its DNA. What about that? What about being natural? In what way is being unnatural, and this is not a derogatory term, but a descriptive one, nature is perfectly clear, as I've just said. Demonstratively clear. Enormously clear. Written in every nucleated cell. What more do you want? What more? To be as God. And that's where it is going. That's the direction of law. This forced oneness, even to the point that the differentials which lead to the next generation are ignored, and all the elements associated are ignored. And the unnatural, despite naturalism, is elevated to tyranny. Let me mention one or two facts. There is, in man, a gene which has the name ADNP. There is a protein the making of which it supervises. It's also called ADNP. It's been found in research in Tel Aviv that this has everything to do with the formation of a brain. Everything to do with it. It is enormously important. And this, apparently, can lead to amazing differences. It would seem that it is associated with two other genes. And in one case, it affects the aging process. In the one case, that decay of the brain, which is such a geriatric danger. In the other case, it affects autism. Autism and Alzheimer's. Through that one gene, through two other genes, affect those two very different things. And they affect them differently in boys and girls. It appears that boys tend to get autism 3 times more than girls. And Alzheimer's, it appears, in certain respects, comes more to women than to men. There are differences. There are differences of construction. And these obviously relate to certain other rather obvious differences of construction at the genital level. One would have thought. And this not only in form, but in function. When will these dreams cease to dictate? So these differences are really there. Another matter, strokes. It's been found that there's a new estrogen receptor, which is relevant. It's been found that it's different in the way things proceed in men and women. It's been found that if you treat them both in the same way in your endeavors to improve the situation relative to strokes, you will get opposite results. If you do what you do to one, to the other, it's negative. So here it's not only different, it is divergent and contrary. As so are a lot of other things, which are not interchangeable anymore, than the pistons and their procedures in the Jaguar are interchangeable with the motor scooters. It is time to face facts and to cease dreary fictions paraded in an endeavor moving faster and faster towards total direction from a dictator, totalitarianism, and we're coming more and more, not just to the Putin type, but to the democratic subtype. After all, Putin took over from a democracy. And in the West, the same trend is occurring, if less dramatically and more subtly. The change is, implement the following dreams or you won't be elected. Right? So you get elected with the dreams. Then do the following things or you'll be fined or whatever may be the case. This wonderful idea, the 18C solution. And then, realize that you're subject to the state. Listen, you parents, says Victoria, you parents, you will not have the option to keep your children out of our, well, they didn't call it this, but of our dream world. Your children are going to be taught they can look at gender as an option. Wait a minute. Did you say gender is an option when every cell nucleated in the body is against you? What are you trying to do? I hadn't noticed that you were God. Please show and demonstrate the capacity before you intrude. It is important now to realize that these are not little filtering things like specks of dust. This is like mustard gas. This is destroying the community. And what else does it lead to? It leads to a sense of this human racism. That the race has got the goods. It can do what it pleases and it's going to overcome death and disease and financial difficulties. It hasn't been very successful. World War I, World War II, the Cold War, the Islamic War. It hasn't been very successful, it is true. But we are going to do it. Hitler did that, nearly got away with it. Stalin did that. He was helped by the democracies to survive. Until, as it would appear, he was put to death rather unceremoniously. Others have tried this. The French, with their Liberty Equality Fraternity, tried it. But the guillotine was a bit unfraternal and it didn't work out. It's constantly being tried, but it will be tried. And even in this country, as I've tried to sketch somewhat, there has been this marvelous movement to unity under secular substitutes for straight out atheism. No God, no morals, no limits. Do the same with borrowing, no limits. Get anywhere, be subject to anything, no limits. But the limits always come, you know, psychologically, sociologically, militarily and politically. You get there in the end. I mean, you ask it strongly enough, look at the history of the nations. Well, in Revelation 20, verse 3, when it's all up, and the Christ who in compassion offered himself on the cross as a substitute for sin, bore our sins on the tree, as 1 Peter tells us. This Christ who so offered himself has got something very different. The devil deceives the nations to make them into one parody of creation and collision with Christ. He has deceived the nations. I've been reading a book, True World War One series, by Purdom. It lists about 70 cases of actual soldiers in the War One. The brutality. And again you see the yearning. Why is this stupid war going on? You read in case after case. Why do we have to kill these people? You see somewhere where maybe a German or a British person finding a wounded soldier tenderly treats. Why did we have to kill? The glory of the nation. And nation will not be treated like this. We are a glorious nation, a very imposing one, eh, Putin? A very significant one, waiting a few decades for some submarines? Yes. Different ways of doing it, apparently. A glorious nation. Pride! Touchiness. What about being touchy for 3 million deaths, eh? The soldiers didn't think, in some cases, it was terribly wise as arms and legs stuck out of mounds of dirt in immeasurable horror. The devil, it says, Revelation 23, will be imprisoned that he may deceive the nations no more. It is all deception. So in an overview, there's a forced oneness which is being, at the political level, forced tyranny which moves for a new oneness, which means manhandling, dress. The boys and girls must not dress so differently. Toys. They cannot have different toys, even if they would like to. How terrible. Attitudes. The little boys must be taught that they're not really any different from little girls, you know. The lungs must be taught to beat like a heart, you know. No, I don't know. I notice that there are biological differences. Hammered out with earplugs to prevent their being seen objectively. Discrimination has to occur, even at universities. There must be certain depictions in an education course. Certain elements must be added in third year to make sure that the dream doesn't perish, since the facts are against it. Even movements towards incrimination. Of course, you know, you can't have people that are male and female. You can't have people that imagine there is a God and work on it. Oh, you must give some credence. But only in word, never in deed. The body doesn't think so. The genes don't think so. The construction of new generations don't think so. But the new unity, which imagines what isn't there and denies what is, and compromises the careers of teachers who don't agree with dreaming when the topic is reality, is moving at a thunderous rate. A spurious oneness is being pushed with a furious haste to mar reality, blight humanity, invent new discords where the essence is complementarity. Even industry knows this. Shall it be forgotten in the body? Will the stomach be given the wink? And the liver be destroyed because it doesn't know how to digest as might be desired? Is there to be a sort of woebegone confusion of elements, detestation of specialization, and unthankfulness at the enormous spread that's given to man when he is willing to work with his Creator as a friend. To fulfill the functions, it's like having a wireless available for your computing, a wireless setting, and needing it and not using it. Man disjoins is to be disjoined from the Creator. You're meant to work together. That's part of being it. That's why the lost world with lost souls and lost personalities and lost gender and lost lives and lost limbs and lost peace is going to pieces. It's not because the human race is so difficult to run. It's because it refuses to run with its maker. It is equipped, manufactured, if you want to use that term, by a spiritual means. A spiritual means can employ manufacturing processes when it wishes. It's one thing, but the other is what must be done. There must be a disjoining. There must be a divorce from God, an undivine divorce. Man must work as a sort of isolated incident, as if cliffs were not allowed to be next to the sea because they were not similar. This is fables. That was predicted. The church was predicted to contain false teachers as the last days came, and from its own midst it would produce as so many. Atheists who have moved far from Christ. Oh, for this is that reason. One of my relatives once, when asked why he didn't proceed as he was getting so drawn to Christ, it was not convenient. Like a husband who says to wife, it's not inconvenient, it's not convenient for me to be courteous to you. Or wife who says to her husband, it's not convenient to me to help you. If you disjoin from what you are made, you will run into your own creation and character and construction, and it will be a sort of internal accident. You'll run into you. Split personalities and split societies and split nations naturally result. You can't run a car very well on the metal rims. You certainly can't run man at all on atheistic wings in a vacuum. So let us consider. In the Christian unity, you have liberty. You don't have to do it. In the days of my youth, one might hear someone say, "Do I have to?" No, you don't have to become a Christian. You don't have to be fined or disgraced if you don't become a Christian. It is an option freely provided, much better than dictation that is literally unnatural. The dictation of a parliament when it throws away the prohibition on making a religion, which is increasingly being done in this country, to have a man or just a parliament telling you all about God and life, where we came from, where we're going, what it all means, where did they get this divinity? I haven't observed it. I've observed dictators innumerable, failed states with failed philosophies, Hitler, Stalin, and all the rest of them. Bonapartism, I've seen, heard, and read of the lot. The Roman brilliant state where you had to worship the emperor. A little additive. They've got that in North Korea these days, I understand. All these things history shouts at you. But they're looking for new inventions to stop the ear from hearing what it doesn't want to hear. Let me read to you just two verses in conclusion. One is from Matthew, chapter 23. We'll add two to it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together. See, a hen doesn't have jackboots. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. See, your house has left you desolate. And then Isaiah 48. Showing another case, and the Gentiles are all the worse because they don't listen to the preliminary case of the Jews to have warned them. Though that will have an eventual glory as well, coming to Christ for anyone of any race. Listen to this. God is speaking here in Isaiah 48:16. Come near to me. Hear this. I haven't spoken in secret from the beginning. Bob has been around a while, hasn't it? A few thousand years, various stages. From the time that it was, I was there. So that's God speaking. Now the Lord God and His Spirit have sent me. That, of course, is a prediction of God sending His only begotten Son, the Word of God incarnate. And what does He say here? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, when He gives Himself to pay for the punishment for your sin, if you are willing to receive it. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the one who is able to bring back man to a wholesome relation with his holy God through the cancellation of sin's desolation in Himself, who cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? This, of course, being what sin does as He bore it, as predicted in Psalm 22. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then, you know the word peace? It refers to not having wars inside and amongst the nations. You know the sort of wars that you can see scattered around the world all the time nowadays. Oh, that you'd heed in my commandments. Then, your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness, he puts his own to your credit account as a Christian, having borne the debts of your sin, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Especially that one, repent. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Then you have to go and be redeemed. But you don't have to. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for the liberty, while you would have all men to be reconciled to yourself, as Colossians 1:19 says, yet, like a hen calling chickens that don't come, you don't dictate. You don't ask for the unnatural to be brought in on top of the clearest possible speech. You want man naturally to go to the creator of his nature, which wasn't nothing, that idol, who invites and awaits with tenderness, saying, I am the door, by me if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in out and find pasture. Amen.